Well, hi. How's everybody out there? Good. Someone told me it's Kirsten's birthday today. Happy birthday, girl. Well, welcome to church. I'm Chelsea, as Shannon said. Tonight, I wanted to speak on God's faithfulness and his provision. I just want to kind of remind us of it. And the Bible tells us over and again that God is faithful. And I can testify to that with my own testimony. Well, as I said before, I'm Chelsea. And I'm a child of God. Yes I am. I'm also a mum of two handsome boys, Ra and Levi, sitting down the front row. Shout out. Hi. I'll know about that in the car later on. Why'd you do that? I'm also married to Ed. He's very caring and generous, and he's God-fearing too. And I'm a teacher by day. And my superpower is to sow and create. So Ed and I want to share our testimonies tonight. And we want to share about how God has been faithful through all the events leading up to how we met and to the present day. How each part was important and valuable. And valuable to who we are today as people as well. So I'm just going to start, I'm just going to quickly pray, and then we'll get into his word. Amen? Amen. Dear Father, we give you our first tonight and commit this service to you. And ask for your presence to come and fill this place. Amen. So I'll start in Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So my relationship with God started in 2006 in a windblown park 12 years ago. And I've never looked back except to see how far he has grown me, strengthened me, and how far he's taken me. He completely came into my life. He turned it upside down, back to front, but for the better. So I was born in sunny Hawke's Bay on the East Coast. Has anyone been to Hawke's Bay? A little shout of hands. Nice. Growing up, I didn't really know much about God at all. In fact, I didn't know how much God could change my life. I was brought up in a relatively dysfunctional, low-income, non-Christian family. My mother single-handedly raised my brothers, my sister, and myself. And each of us, we had different fathers, which we found out later on in life. We had happy memories growing up, but we also were exposed to a spectrum of things, from drugs to alcohol, physical and sexual abuse, and a bit of destruction, I suppose, that's what I call it. And I'm just going to note here, put a little pin in it, this is quite the opposite to my husband's upbringing, so he'll tell you a bit about that later. When I was 10, my brother and I, we went to a place called Camp David. Has anyone heard of Camp David before? Yep. A few shout-outs on the back there. I remember this camp. I didn't know it was a Christian camp that I was going to. I just knew that through Work and Income, they subsidized this program, and we as a low-income family were allowed to go. And so I just remember one of the leaders at the camp, they were saying to us, you know, you need to make a decision to ask God into your life, to ask Jesus to come in. And this was kind of the first time I heard about God. I didn't really think much more about it after that. And looking back, I kind of realized that God kind of had planted a seed then. And he had a plan for my life. And that was the beginning to work. You know, he was working it out back then. And I didn't even realize. At 14, we're going to get real in here. Real. That's just how I do things. At 14, I found myself pregnant. And at a crossroads in what to do. And before I could really process kind of what had happened, I had an abortion. This was kind of like my crossroads number one. Not really knowing then the generational trends and cycles that my mum and my older sister, but they both got pregnant and had children at 14, 15. So I didn't actually go through and have that pregnancy, I had the abortion then. So when I was 18, skipping through a few years, I knew that I needed to move away from my family. And when that's all you know, It can be a really hard decision. And to move out of the comfort of what you know and move into the unknown. You know, I love my family, and I've always wanted to be part of a really big family. I kind of am now too, look at all you. But I knew I wanted to do something with my life. I moved out of home, and I lived with a friend for a while, kind of like a little stepping stone to where I needed to go. And she was an amazing friend, by the way, too. And then I decided to move even further away from my family and move to New Plymouth. This is where I decided to further my education, and I actually enrolled in a design diploma. I always knew one of my strengths was being creative, hence my superpower, which came later on. So I wasn't too sure where that creative power was going to take me, but this is where I noticed I started breaking some of those generational cycles as well. So I was the first member of my family that made it to year 13. Woo! Any year 13s out there? No? Oh, you're all older tonight. So most of my family dropped out at year 10, and I was the first to go to university. I wanted to do something with my life, and I thought, this is a step in the right direction. So I then came to crossroad number two. Everyone say two. Another big decision. I fell pregnant again. And this time I was in the second year of my third year diploma. I decided to keep this baby and not have an abortion after some counselling. With the arrival of my first son, Ra, my plans changed again. And I decided to move to Auckland this time and start new. I cross-credited to a degree, and everything was going really well in the degree. I had to do 3 years to get the degree, and I was going to be better qualified and come out the end of it with a better accreditation to what I wanted to go into. And then I came across another crossroads, which was probably number three for me, say three. Another event in my life, and can you guess? I got pregnant again. I know, three times, gosh. I was looking at my options, and I was a solo mum with my first child and trying to do my degree, and this was super hard. I don't know if there's any solo mums out there, but gosh, solo mumming is really hard. So juggling both, bringing up a child and going to university, trying to get a degree and trying to do something with my life. So I thought, I've got a couple of options. I could abort this child and try to go back to school, or I could keep this child and maybe go back to school, but being a solo mum of two kids, that's going to be super hard, or I might not go back to school. So, in my own strength, as we do sometimes, right? Yeah. And my own know-how, I booked in to the abortion clinic. At this stage, I didn't know there was another way to life, other than what I'd seen in my own upbringing. And although I didn't know God at this time, I had a friend at university who did. I asked her to come with me to the clinic. She said, I don't agree with your decision, but I'll come with you. An hour before the appointment, she said, let's go for a walk. We went for a walk in Albert Park. Does anyone know where Albert Park is? It's in Auckland, yep, right next to the campus. So we went for a walk, and she said, oh, can I pray for you? And I was like, I said yes, because I was being polite. But when she was praying, I thought to myself, this is a bit weird. But then I asked God, and I said, please give me a sign, God. Like, I've got to make this decision, and I really need a sign. And it was a windy day that day, like I said earlier, and God spoke to me very clearly in a windblown piece of paper that landed on my leg. It had in big, bold letters, life and death. So life and death. And on that paper, it also had a scripture that was John 5:24. From the NIV version, it said, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Whoa. So right then I was like, that's a sign. Oh. Yes, Jesus. So I made a decision right then and there that I was going to keep that baby. Instead of going to the clinic, guess what we did? We went and had lunch. Hallelujah. I love lunch. Who loves lunch? So this began my early stages of my relationship with God. My relationship with God grew from strength to strength. I went to church. I gave my heart to God. I continued my studies. I went through uni pregnant. It's not ideal. And being a solo mum. I found this year so difficult. I prayed a lot. And I felt strongly that I needed to actually adopt this baby out as well. I'm like, whoa, okay. So I made a sacrifice to give this new baby to someone who could give him what I actually couldn't give him at that time, in that stage in my life. And when I went through plenty of profiles of parents, and finally I adopted him out to the girl who prayed for me in the park. I know. So God knew the plan. He is always faithful. Everyone say faithful. He is. So my second son, Josiah, his name is, was born, and I had to hand him over. But knowing God would be faithful to look after us both, not just Josiah, but me too. He's also blonde and blue-eyed. Quite strange, isn't it? Even though I dye my hair blonde, so it's not natural. Mm-hmm. It looks natural, I know. Shush, hate, isn't it? Am I allowed to say that? Too late. And so everyone in this Christian family that I adopted him out to, they were also blonde and blue-eyed. God is good. Not only did I adopt him out, and usually you have that separation, I actually always wanted to have a big family. We also became part of their family, Ra and I. So, I mean, that was awesome. So I did the right thing, and the next thing I did after that was I joined a life group, or we call them connect groups here, and I got water baptized. And this was in the first 6 months of my walk, so all this happened quite fast. Through this time, I felt that God was saying to me that he would take care of me, and that he had a plan for me and a purpose for my life, because I chose to follow him. A verse that really spoke to me during this time is Proverbs 3, and you probably all heard it before, 5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So 6 months later, I met Edward. And yes, I thought that too. But I was in no way, shape or form looking for another man. Okay, you know, the history and everything. All the things I'd been through, I was like, nah, men are not for me. Obviously, I'm going to stay single for the rest of my life. But Ed pursued me. And at church, like when you go to church, they were always talking about how to date people. You know, and I got saved up in a Quippers. Hands up if you know where a Quippers is, up there. Yeah, whoop, whoop. And they were always saying, if you're going to go out on a date, you should take a third person or go out as a group. This is good for you young people. So that you can hang out as a group. You know, you don't get alone and do things you shouldn't have, like my past, remember? Yeah. And so he pursued me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to that story, but we're not going to go. We don't have time for that. So staying in a group, you get to know the person. And so then he kind of built up the courage to ask me to go out for coffee. Yes. And I asked a friend to come, because I was a good Christian girl then. And, well, the rest is history. Ed might tell you a little bit when he gets up. Since journeying and trusting God and his faithfulness, he's delivered me through so many amazing things. I mean, I've seen his provision. He also has helped me in many difficult times where I've let God take over, and he's just got me through it. I've been living with God, and it's been a full-on life. Who knows here that living with God is a full-on life? Yeah. But wait, there's more. So God faithfully got me through finishing my degree and being selected. Not only did he get me through my degree with all of that, I feel like I'm a doctor now because I did like 5 years of study. Hey, that should be a thing. Yeah. Doctor of fashion here, thank you. And being selected, I also not only finished the degree, but I got selected out of the 68 that were left in my year to showcase my collection at New Zealand Fashion Week. How cool is that? I know. And then I was also, out of that 68, I was one of the 10 that got a job in the fashion industry. And I don't know about you, but fashion industry is very cutthroat. And we'll just leave it there. Then God stirred me. So I got my dream job in the fashion industry. I thought it was my dream job. It actually wasn't my dream job, but it was actually real killer. 7 days a week looking after my son. It was just crazy. But God stirred me and he was like, right, I know this was your dream job, but you're going to go teach kids. And I was like, no, I don't like kids. Well, I thought I didn't like kids, okay, because I do actually like kids. I have my own too, okay? So he stirred me to retrain, and so he wanted me to go into teaching. I was like, okay, I'll trust you. You got me through this far. Obviously, I met an amazing man, Edward Roper. I also met my real dad. I know that sounds weird, but I didn't know my dad growing up, and I met him when I was 26. Before I got married to Ed, 6 weeks, I got him tested, and he was 99% my dad. Oh, my real dad. And so he actually walked me down the aisle at my wedding. Crazy. And we looked the same if I had a mustache. So try to picture me with a mustache. That's my dad. Yeah. Oh, I know. I've got a mouse pad at my work, and it's got him on it, with me and him and a mustache drawn on. Anyway. Love you, Dad. Met my real dad, yep. Ed and I had a baby boy named Levi. Yeah. So God showed me what it was like to get married and then have a baby in marriage. And wow, what a difference it makes. Having someone there crying with you when you're in labor. Oh, settle down. Okay. He also got me through the death of my mother. And her 7-year battle with cancer, which was full on, but I've never known a peace like I've known than I have through that season of my life. And I'm like, what do people do without God? Yeah. Right? Oh, I don't know how they do it. And now Ed and I are in the season where we're like, because we're doing everything all backwards. Well, I did it all backwards, you know, like had babies and then got married and got to know Jesus, all that. And then now we're going to do a house thing, yeah? So we're faithfully waiting to build a house. And we've been praying for 8 years. But God is faithful. And we will have a house next year. Yes. So I never would have thought that 12 years ago that I would be married to Edward. Hey. With our 2 boys and our blended family. A Christian. But wait. Working as a teacher at a Christian school. There's some other Christian teachers here too. Hi. Work at my school. They let me in. And they promoted me. But hey, God is good. And I teach Christian at a Christian school, teaching children, and to enjoy what my superpower is, which is sewing and creating. You know, like, how cool is that? God knew he's faithful, he has a plan, right? Yes. And I have a huge family now. So not only did I meet my real dad with all his tribe, which is he's one of 10, and then there's cuz, auntie, cuz, that's how it kind of goes. All of Ed's family, all of my church family, like, it's crazy. I have a huge family now, okay? But you're not all getting Christmas presents, okay? So God knows and he has a plan for you. I want to use this opportunity not to kind of dwell on my past or anything like that, but to encourage each one of us that it doesn't matter what's in our past or what mess or difficulties that you've been through or that you've brought upon yourself or through circumstances, because sometimes it's outwardly, you know, it just happens. But God is faithful, and he will provide a way. If we're prepared to turn it all over to God and trust him for our future, he's willing to do more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. So God is true to his name, his character, and his word. We can trust his purposes, his promises, his care. God is faithful. But our ability to trust him is not as faithful, right? Sometimes. There are so many ways in which we manifest a lack of trust sometimes. My hope and my goal for myself is to develop a deeper trust with God and for you. When things don't go my way, I want to learn to trust God more and that he'll lead me through disappointment, because disappointment's going to come. Yeah. When death seems to gain the upper hand, I want to trust that God will bring life. When people disappoint and fail me, and they do, we're human, I want to trust God that he'll never fail me. When I do not see God at work in my certain situation, I want to rest in the peace that he knows it all about it. I pray that we will be able to learn to trust in all circumstances. I'm nearly there, guys. You're doing so well. I just want to leave you with a few thoughts before I finish. I was reading my Bible, and in my Bible, my devotional book, there's little readings that I get, and they're really good. I encourage you to get one. And it was on dealing with problems. And so I'm going to read that. Sometimes our problems are such a tangle that solving them seems too far out of our grasp. That when we have to get back to basics, that's when we have to get back to basics, to do the right thing one step at a time. We need to boldly approach God's throne, admit our utter confusion, and ask him to show us the next step. Ask God, what do I do today? Then walk in obedience, doing what is right for today. What about tomorrow, you ask? God responds, don't worry about tomorrow. Today is all you can handle. I've got tomorrow taken care of. Tomorrow we will talk about tomorrow. And so it goes on, one step at a time. Suddenly we've walked through the problem and we're out the other side. We've learned a thing or two about ourselves. We've learned a thing or two about God. We've grown and we've gotten well used to visiting God's throne daily. Basically, it's liking it there. That's what those utterly confusing problems do. They drive us to God. Get used to being there. He will show you your next obedient step. So just to finish, Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Amen. Whew, did it. Oh. So I don't know what Ed's going to speak about. I kind of do, but... So Ed's going to come up now. My amazing husband. There we go. Woo! I can take this one.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I am here. All right, there we go. Found me. Chelsea found me first. Is Sam out there? He was on the promo. No. So I have this problem, and my problem goes like this. I'm slightly skinny, but I'm slightly tall, right? So you can never find a t-shirt that's medium tall, right? You know, unless you shop in the right place. So I'm lucky to be married to Chelsea, and this is Chelsea's t-shirt. So how about that, eh? Even got the label on the side. So God had that planned out right from the start. It's only taken 9 years, hasn't it? Right. So Chelsea's told you some of the things from the start, and I'm actually going to go right back to the beginning. Where's someone going to go left or right? Back to the beginning. And my journey to finding Chelsea would have started probably 16 years ago. We only met 10 years ago? 11? 12? Something like that. 12 years ago. Although I know we've been married 8 years, 11 months, 8 days, and about 4 hours, something like that. Okay. Pastor James would probably remember that day quite well because Chelsea arrived in a car and the number plate was Pirate. And he said I had my work cut out for me. So it's been great. So Chelsea's already introduced you to Ra and Levi. They're both cheeky and amazing. They get the cheekiness from Chelsea. And together, she's a teacher, but we also own a business. Spoiler alert for the rest of the story. We own a chiropractic business, employ 4 great staff, and it's an awesome place to work. I'm the boss, but I'm not really the boss. I just turn up and work. Okay, so this journey's taken a while to get here. Like I said, 16 years. I had the benefit of being raised in a Christian family. 5 years old, I remember standing in front of that ranch slider saying, look, God changed my life, you know, come into my heart. And that was my experience of God. It wasn't this real life walking with God. It was, okay, God, probably, if anything, it was a bit like the insurance policy that I had in my back pocket at that point. I didn't truly know that or even realize that God had a big plan for me or that God is living, breathing, walking, and real. And that's the great thing I like about this church here. It's a real church. You get people like Chelsea and myself that stand up here and talk to you. And our first day that we were here, one of the associate pastors at the time, his daughter was standing about here, and he grabbed her by the arm and yanked her onto the stage. But it was out of love. But this is a real church, and we love this church, so it's great to be a part of it. So my story's two things, and we're talking about the culture of our church, and two parts of my story. Chelsea's told part of it about the faithfulness of God, that we believe in a real God that's faithful, and we have a real relationship with God. The second part to my story is actually about being outward in focus. And it's pretty obvious with looking at these boxes. I ended up getting a call in about 6 a.m. on Saturday to come and quickly unload the truck, so I came and helped unload the truck. And it's a great thing that we have more than just mission trips. We've got so many things that we're outward in focus. So, back to the beginning, my story. My story defies all logic. When you talk to people, it started probably born in a Christian family. My family shifted up to Tauranga. I was about 16 years old, okay? And God's got it all under control. Yeah. I had the benefit of going to Bethlehem College, and I'm not one of the original gangsters, I think they call it, OG. No, I'm not. But I had the benefit of going there for 2 years. Within that 2 years, God changed my life, and there was 2 weeks. So a drop in the bucket compared to my life when you look at it in this world, but just a drop in a bucket. So what happened? How did I get there? I joined a youth group, and one of my classmates at the time had this desire to take her friends and her youth group back to Borneo. So it's just across the border from where Mount Hope is, actually. Okay. As part of this mission trip, I fought it all the way. My youth leader kept telling me that I had to go, right? Guess what subjects I took at school? Art design, graphics and design, and a whole lot of designing stuff. In fact, I hadn't taken any subjects that had anything to do with science, okay, year 11, so fifth form. I didn't need them because I was going to be a graphic designer. I thought I had it all figured out. Now, God had other ideas, didn't he? Okay, so what happened? My youth leader kept bugging me. I said, no, I've got all these art design projects that have to be done by the end of the year, and it's a process they tell you at school. Daniela will probably tell all the students, you have to work at it all year long. So you miss 2 weeks, and you have a problem, right? You lose it. So I kept fighting it, a bit like Jonah, really. Okay, Jonah, he kind of fought God and what God was doing and what God was saying to him. So what happened? I found myself wakeboarding in the middle of the Borneo jungle. That can be the next picture, right? So can you just see that? So that is wakeboarding on a plank of wood, okay? We figured these guys had so much time that they could pretty much become water skiers or wakeboarders because they had a boat, they had water, and they could wakeboard. Now, this photo here is the group, 16 of us, and you'll recognize three faces. One of them's myself. You'll recognize another face. If you can just see it, it's a bit grainy. This is before digital photos. So Robin Hamilton is up there. She's sitting just behind the lady in pink. Okay, and the other one is Katie Leitz, right? Who I knew at the time of Katie Booth. So it's amazing how you come back to church after this church after 16 years and meet some people that, you know, on the same trip that changed my life. Okay, so where am I? I'm lost. I'm not. Okay. So over this trip, God got on my case. My youth pastor, guess what he used to do? Well, he still does. He's a chiropractor. And on this trip, I saw him change people's lives. And God kept on tugging me, pulling me, a bit like that magnet, you know. And I came back from this trip. I had 6 months, well, not even 6 months left at school. And God said, you know, a bit like Chelsea, you're going the other way now. Guess what everybody said to me? That's not logical. It can't happen. And why can't it happen? You talk to every high school counselor. I had the wrong credits and the wrong subjects to get to school. And the great thing is, if you're still going through school, you can change it around. So through the faithfulness of God, guess what I did? I finished all of my art stuff, which really didn't matter. It was still cool stuff. I married a lady that can help me with my creative side. And then I found myself, well, I think I had 2 weeks of holiday, and I went straight to Auckland and I did summer school. And I did sixth form chemistry, seventh form chemistry. So I did sixth form chemistry for 2 weeks, seventh form chemistry for 2 weeks. My brain was mush by that point. Had a break for Christmas, came back and did 2 weeks of biology, and then 2 weeks of physics, all to get me up to speed. I don't know how the heck I did it. Well, I do. God did it, right? So, but everybody kept saying, it's not going to happen, you can't do it. You know, and I'm like, well, God's kind of told me to do it. And it's really great because everybody goes, in my job, it's a hands-on job, everybody goes, you know where to find the spots. I go, well, it's my God-given talent. It's my God-given gift. And I can say that with confidence, which is really cool. So, my first verse, Philippians 1 verse 6, from the NIV. Okay. And being confident in this, that he began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. When you capture what God has in store for you, it's like a rocket ship under your backside, fueled, ready to go. It just needs ignition. All right? And you know, who would strap themselves and go to the moon? That's a lot of pressure, right? So it's only through the faithfulness of God that I got through that part, and then the next part came, which was student loans. Got that all sorted, right? However, here's the cool thing. I had, and some of you have already know this, I had the opportunity of getting a scholarship. Well, I had the opportunity, but nothing was working out. They said, we don't know how we could get you across the line to get this scholarship. In fact, the main person that we were dealing with said, you don't have the right things. We can't figure it out. I would like to help you, but we can't. So the day that we were due to hear about the scholarship, I was expecting no deal. Guess what? God had other ideas, right? This administrator sent an email to my mum saying, I couldn't sleep last night. I kept thinking about your case, and we've figured out a way to work it out. How cool is that, eh? God's faithful. That was worth around about $80,000. How about that? That's pretty cool. Praise God, you know? So during chiropractic school, I was in my last couple of years, I met this girl, and the girl actually wasn't Chelsea. No, it wasn't. In fact, Chelsea thought I liked this girl because I had to, you know, she kind of was the chaperone as part of the friends. And Chelsea didn't think I liked her. In fact, guys, you'll do anything. You'll be mad. I offered to help Chelsea with the housework. But that's okay. So I sat down, and this is the conversation I had with Chelsea once we had the friends all distracted. And I said something along these lines. I said, where is it? I like you. I think you are really neat. That was it, right? That was it. Chelsea said, I wasn't expecting that. I have 2 children, 1 adopted, and Ra's dad is still kind of around somewhere. You know, he was still in the picture. Not, they weren't dating, but he was still in around being a great dad to Ra. And she said, are you okay with that? My response was, yep. She was a new Christian, and yeah, the chaperone thing obviously worked. So the rest is history. And when we got first married, we had a couple of things come up. Obviously, going into what I would call probably the instant family, straight from university, straight with bills and things to do, it was a little bit tough to start with. So we got the opportunity of shifting in with my parents, and we've probably been there a bit longer than my dad would like. Okay. But when we look back across time and across where we are today, it's timely and God's got it in control. Okay. One of the things that you may or may not know is my brother, he often sits in a wheelchair, one side or the other. He was exactly like me about 7 years ago. Well, not exactly, but he was my younger brother that was able, could talk, could eat, could walk. And he got unwell, like very unwell, and we didn't know what was happening. So God had it all planned out. He had it under control. And what happened was, is that we were around because he needed at the time 24-hour care. And guess what? We were in the right place at the right time, and God had it planned out. Okay? So my next verse is Jeremiah 29:11, which is one that a lot of people know. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And Chelsea mentioned about the house. That was something that for us, it just kept on, the carrot kept on getting further away. You know, at the time, we probably had enough of the deposit. The bank had lending restrictions on that came in just about the time. Then we had enough of a deposit, and guess what? The Tauranga property market got invaded by Aucklanders, and guess what? Oh darn, we miss out again. So where does that end us? Romans 8:28 says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes." Right? So my thoughts from my life story. I was a Christian. I thought I didn't really have a story. You know, brought up in a Christian family, didn't really do anything too outrageous. Don't ask my wife. And I'm still in church. Right? That's my testimony. But, which is a great testimony to have, but God revealed to me that, you know, through that Jonah experience of me right back 16 years ago, if I hadn't been on that mission trip down here, guess what? Down here, it would be a very different situation, right? I probably won't have met Chelsea because I wouldn't have gone to chiropractic school. I wouldn't have met her friend. And look where we are now, right? We go back even further. If I hadn't been in that Christian family, I wouldn't have been probably placed in Bethlehem College. Okay? My friend group would have been different, and I wouldn't have gone on that mission trip. So you can see God's provision, even for us not having a house for longer than we would have liked, it actually ended up as in a position where God had it under control, and we know God is faithful. So my three points, if you are taking notes, one is, get uncomfortable. Okay? Everybody see the Big Bang Theory where Sheldon likes his spot in his couch? He's got his favorite spot. We need to get away from some of the things that we're doing that are comfortable to us. And for me, that was a mission trip. And mission trips will change your life. Okay? It changed mine. If I hadn't gone on it, I probably wouldn't be here. Or could be here. I could look different. Not cool t-shirt. Yeah. God is our Lord, not our life coach. Right? There's so much talk these days about life coaches. The great thing about God being our Lord is we see him as our Lord. Right? He has lordship over us. If your Lord in the old times used to say something, you used to do it. Whereas a life coach, in some respects, just sits on the sidelines and says, "Go you. Try this, but go you." They don't have such an invested interest in our lives. And three, problems arise when our wishes or our focus is on temporary things. The band can come if they aren't already here. No, they're coming. Cool. Obviously, the verse, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to us." Right? We want to shortcut that and go to all the added things. Right? However, what we don't realize is you take God's way, which for us has been longer than we would have liked, but it's God's way. All these things are being added to us. As part of this, seeking first the kingdom of God, if you have a kingdom approach, in some respects, the 30 years, the 40 years, even the 80 years, 90 or 110, if I'm getting into 110, the 110 years doesn't matter because we have a viewpoint that far outweighs these 80 years. So what I do now does matter. What I do now has an effect. Okay? And our priorities at the moment, our priorities can be temporary. And if we've got that 30-year approach, these things that bumps along the road that come along, guess what? They become big problems because we don't have that far, great, reaching viewpoint on our lives. But if our viewpoint is of a kingdom focus, then they become little bumps in the road. And when we've got God on our side, like Chelsea said, like I've said, it all works out. we can be here and have confidence in that. So, we brought some land this time next year. If I'm standing here, we'll probably have a house. No, we will have a house, actually. Okay, and God has it under control. So I'm going to take a moment now. Now's a great time of the year, particularly for your students. Like for you, if you haven't even thought of a mission trip, it doesn't have to be overseas. It could be serving somewhere. God will target your heart. If you're at that crossroads, and that crossroads could be something as significant as what Chelsea had. My crossroads probably wasn't as significant, but it had a significant impact on my life.